You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm evidently suffering from a brain disorder called Ezekielitis. And it manifests itself by knowing that the prophet that is written about in 1 Kings is Elijah, but sometimes my brain interprets that as Ezekiel and that's what comes out. I know the difference, but I want to make sure that you know the difference too, and that if I happen to say Ezekiel, I mean Elijah, okay? And you can count how many times I might do that in this sermon. Well, I love this section from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. For a little bit of background for you, the reason that Ezekiel is out and is in the wilderness is that he has been up in the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, and he has been speaking truth to power. You see, he's been talking to Ahab, and Ahab is the king of the northern kingdom, and what happened in days of Elijah were that if you were a king and you wanted to make peace with your neighboring kingdoms, then one of the things that you did was that you married the daughter of your neighbor king. And he has married a woman whom you may have heard about, Jezebel. Okay? You've heard about Jezebel, right? Yes, okay. All right, I had to go a little bit deeper with the first service this morning about that. But Elijah is speaking to Ahab because Jezebel, his wife, is not a follower of Yahweh. Rather, she is a follower of Baal. And she wants to bring Baal worship into this kingdom. And she's quite adamant about it, as a matter of fact. And so Elijah is in the northern kingdom to speak truth to power, to speak for Yahweh and say that, you know, this is my people, this is my land. Don't turn to Baal. Well, they decided that they would settle it in a contest. And it just so happened that there happened to be about 400 prophets of Baal also in the area, and they decided to have this contest. So they decided which god could light the biggest fire. That was the contest. And so all the prophets of Baal brought all of this wood and stacked it way up high, and it was about the biggest stack of wood that you could possibly imagine. And the prophets of Baal began... They had first opportunity, and so they started their prayers and their chants, and they were marching around the huge stack of wood, and they did it for a long, long time, and no sparks, no fire, not even a firefly was seen around that wood. There was nothing. And so finally they gave up, and it was Elijah's turn. And Elijah, being a bit of a show-off, took buckets of water and threw it on the wood and drenched it just to make it a little bit more challenging. And as soon as Elijah began his prayer to Yahweh, whoosh, down comes the fire and lights the fire. And Elijah wins. Yahweh wins. The fire was consumed. The water sizzled on the wood. Unfortunately, the 400 prophets of Baal, they died. But this didn't even convince Jezebel. Jezebel was upset. And so she went aside to Ahab and said, "You better do something about this guy, or else I'm going to do something about this guy." And lo and behold, Ahab sent word to Elijah, said, "You better skedaddle because my wife is sending out the troops for you." And he did, and he left, and they're after him. And so there he is in our first lesson, out in the wilderness, under a single broom tree, and he's weary. He's weary and he's tired. He's tired of speaking unpopular things to the people. He's tired of telling people that they must turn back to Yahweh. He's tired of all the violence. He's tired of all the bloodshed. He's tired. He's tired. He's tired. Nobody's listening. No one is turning back. And so he says, as he lays down, "Lord, I am so tired. I'm ready to die. Take me. Take me. Take me." Well, as it so happens, an angel of the Lord comes and taps Elijah on the shoulder and says, "Get up and eat and drink." And there before him at his head, cooked on hot stones, was a cake, which is really bread, and a jar of water. "Eat and drink, or else the journey will be too much for you." And so he ate and he drank, but he didn't get up. He fell back asleep. And the angel comes a second time and taps him on the shoulder, says, "Get up, eat, and drink, or else the journey will be too hard for you." And so he was sustained and made his way to Mount Horeb, where he met with Yahweh. I don't know about you. I don't know if you have ever been to that place that Elijah was at, where you're so weary, so tired, so frustrated, so full of fear, so full of disappointment, and everything that this world seems to offer us, that you lie down at night praying, perhaps not to wake up. Or at least not wake up in this world. I don't know about you, but when I look at the world and I see innocent people oppressed, when I see injustice, when I see violence and violence and more violence, when I see war, when I see starvation, when I see drought, when I see fires, I'm weary and I'm tired. But Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life, he tells the people at Capernaum. I am the one who comes into the world, who comes down from heaven, and my body, my flesh will sustain you. The blood that comes from me will make you so that you are never thirsty. But you see, that bread and that wine, they are like the sustenance that Elijah took. Something that doesn't make the world all okay, but sustains us instead for the journey. Sustains us to live in faith. You see, the rest of the world looks at us and says, "You people are crazy. You're all nuts. To believe in a God of love? What's your evidence? Look at the world. There's war, there's pestilence, there's famine, there's oppression, there's injustice, there's cruelty. What is your evidence that God loves you and that God is full of love?" Well, let's re-examine what our journey is. Where are we to go when we leave this place, after we have sung our songs of thanksgiving and praise, after we have declared God is so good? Where does our journey take us? But we step out of this place into that world of hurt and woe and frustration and anger. Do we join in with what the world has to say? No. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Believe in me, and you will never hunger. Believe in me, and you will never thirst. I am the bread of life. That bread is broken for us this day. That wine is poured for us this day. And it's given to us now so that we can step out into the world and be hope for the hopeless, freedom for those who are chained, love for those who are full of hatred, bread for those who are hungry. You see, we are fed this day for our journey. Our journey out into the world to feed those who only see famine and oppression and injustice. Yeah, we wake up in the same world. We see the same things. But rather than give in to it, God feeds us. Rather than to say, I'm weary, I'm tired, take me now, God taps us on the shoulder and says, eat and drink, or else the journey will be too much. Eat and drink. Be hope for the hopeless. Preach justice to those who are oppressed. Proclaim love to those who find themselves loveless and lonely. Be bread to a hungry world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.